that sent him sprawling. He hit the floor flat on his belly, arms and legs splayed, and didn't move.
Another one bites the dust.
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
Shut up, Dimmy. When we chill her and take her ore, it means double water rations for us. Come on, she must be getting tired.
She was feeling the effects of her exertions. The axe definitely seemed heavier than a few moments ago. But she was so pumped with adrenaline, it didn't seem to matter. Two thieves were down for the count, and the others were still coming at her. She realized she was going to have to kill them both. And the only way she could do that was to exploit her relative maneuverability, make them get in each other's way. One moved along the far side of the cart, the other came next to the wall. They closed in, with axes raised to strike.
What's taking you so goddamn long?
Don't worry. You'll die soon enough, bitch.
That's what your last boy said.
They were trying to time their blows in unison, figuring she couldn't deflect both, so one would have to land. When they struck, she darted away from the wall, under the arcs of their swings. She hip-checked one as she passed him. Already committed and off balance, he slammed into the wall, then bounced into his partner. For a split second, his back was turned toward her, his arms locked up in his companion's. Mildred brought the hammer down behind his left ear, which protruded from between the oily plaits of dark hair. Again, she struck with a flat end. She couldn't risk getting the point stuck in his skull. A light blow to the mastoid would have just knocked him out. It wasn't a light blow. Blood and bone sprayed everywhere. As Mildred retreated, the huge robber surprised her by throwing his partner's limp body on top of her. Her feet tangled, and she went down hard on her behind.
Shit!
Before she could get up, the bearded man had her throat in his huge, powerful hands. He squeezed her neck, closing her airway, and shutting off the flow of blood to her brain. He held the point of his axe raised high over her head. He was grinning at her again, showing off his corroded, yellow and brown stump teeth.
This is for Bucky, bitch!
When Doc and Jack heard the hubbub, they were within a few strides of the sledge loading area.
That commotion is Mildred, if I'm not mistaken.
Jack dropped his bag and broke into a dead run. His speed was truly amazing. By the time Doc exited the side tunnel, the albino was already halfway across the main tunnel. The older man's heart skipped a beat. A big, filthy man was leaning over Mildred, holding her pinned by the throat while he prepared to strike a killing blow. As fast as Jack was, he couldn't close the gap in time to stop the tragedy. The teen realized it and didn't even try. Instead, he threw his axe, timing the toss with a forward lunge, putting his full body weight and momentum behind it. The axe sailed end over end in a whistling blur. It continued sailing past the man holding Mildred and into the mine wall. But the thief slumped over anyway.
Huh?
Mildred worked her way from underneath the big man's tremendous weight.
How?
Check out the bastard's face.
Jack and Doc looked at the greasy, grime-streaked face. Blood was pumping out of the robber's nose, which had been shoved well into his forehead by a blow apparently delivered by Mildred.
My goodness, dear Mildred, you have singularly struck down four Visigoths. Even Medusa was not that formidable.
Was that a hair crack, Doc?
Why, of course not, madam. Only the highest form of respect was intended to be uttered from this awestruck visage.
The chilling Mildred had performed made a big impression on their fellow slaves. They were so impressed that during the fight, none of them had moved to steal the robber's oar, which sat in an unattended sledge. Now that the battle was over, none dared make a move for it.
Those were some very bad men. They were the ones who knocked my teeth out. Aren't you going to take their oar?
Hell, those fools can divvy it up if they want to.
The laborers looked at the black woman, then at one another in astonishment.
Go on, do it. The thieves stole it from you in the first place. Everybody take a chunk until it's gone.
Peo, listen to the woman. You saw what she just did to those bastards.
For Ground Zero, it was a very unusual proposition. Instead of dog-eat-dog, every man for himself, it was more like all-for-one, one-for-all. The very prospect of decent, humane treatment made some of the slaves start crying. Those who could still remember what their lives had been like before Slake City.
Who's the other tall, skinny geezer, Doc?
His name is Huff. He wants to join our efforts to fill the sledge.
The more the merrier, I guess.
What are you doing? We've got stickies all around us.
Ryan stopped hacking at the wall with his hand axe.
Is it the spores? Ryan, are you seeing things?
Watch for the stickies. If they rush us before I'm done, I need you to keep them off me.
With that, he resumed his wild attack on the new glass, making dust and splinters fly. He used the pointed end of his axe to chip out a wide, crusty hole around the very part of the piece of Unistrut.
That's it.
He hadn't lost his mind. He had a plan. In a close-quarters fight against dozens of stickies, he knew that the axes would be next to useless. They had too short a range. Clunking the muties on their bald, flabby heads meant letting them get close, which meant big trouble. He needed something longer, something that would allow him to take advantage of his height, weight, and strength. With a last whack, he cracked loose the U-channel. All 5 feet of it tumbled to the floor. At the end, he just freed, was a big, oblong clump of glass. Kneeling, he rested the clump on the floor and used his axe point to clip off the excess material. He cleaned the new glass from that end of the Unistrut, scraping it right down to the metal. This gave him an all-steel handle 2 feet long.
There. Got it.
It's about time.
The business end of the new tool was 3 feet of splayed green glass teeth, some huge, some small, all razor sharp. Smaller was better. The weapon's edge had to be able to deliver a blow without losing its teeth. Ryan knew that the closer the teeth points were to the channel opening, the less likely they'd be to snap off. The kissing sounds from the darkness were a lot louder now. There was no time for fine work. Using the flat end of the axe head, he spalled off the longest points in quick, powerful strokes that left them shorter, but just as wickedly sharp.
They're coming, Ryan. I can see their eyes. Oh, there are too many of them.
He snatched some scraps of the dead man's clothes from the floor and hurriedly wrapped the cloth around the makeshift handle to protect his hands from any spurs of glass he might have missed.
Get back, Christy!
Christy's eyes widened at what he held. A yard of sawtooth horror. She ducked under his left arm and got behind him. Ryan saw all those sets of eyes bouncing down the shaft toward them.
Fire blast.
Stickies moved at tremendous speeds and short bursts. With the suckers on their hands and feet, they ran upside down along the ceiling and sideways along the walls. Ryan closed his mind to the impossibility of the task.
One at a time. You can only handle one at a time.
The narrow tunnel walls would only permit a looping overhead figure eight slash. That he had freed a terrible weapon was evident when the first sticky launched itself at him. The one-eyed warrior brought the blade down at the joint of hairless head and scrawny neck. The head leapt free and caromed off the side wall. Blood fountained from the neck stump as the body jittered wildly at his feet. Chunks of wet flesh and shards of bone torn out by the saw teeth were flung against the ceiling as Ryan rolled his wrists, swinging the edge over in a tight arc. The backslash caught the neck sticky as it leapt from the wall on his left. The rows of nest spikes ripped into the creature's exposed midsection, gutting it in an eye blink from groin to breastbone. The force of the blow sent the body spinning back into those who ran behind, knocking two of them flat. The others clawed over them to get to Ryan. It was all eyes and bared teeth for as far as he could see. Ryan looped the jagged sword back and forth, driving with his legs and hips, grunting with the effort of each blow.
They're coming too fast!
Oh, shit!
He just hit them wherever he could, across faces, across chests. Contact was all he was after. The new glass sword with the rest. Its splayed teeth opened gaping trenches in flesh and bone. Wherever they touched, devastating wounds appeared. Bowels spilled in slimy coils from half-split torsos. Jaws were torn off whole, along with tongues and teeth. And still they came. The ceiling, walls, and the floor ran slick with sticky blood. Ryan's boots began to slip and slide in the viscous stuff. It had the same effect on the stickies. Their suckers couldn't get firm holds on walls and ceilings. The more blood that was spilled, the wilder they got. Though they could no longer run along the ceiling and walls, they threw themselves at him from the floor, leaping over the corpses of their brethren. Ryan shut out the fatigue in his arms and shoulders, and kept the new glass sword windmilling, making his lower body do most of the work, driving all of his 200 pounds into each strike. Though he clobbered them, they wouldn't stop. Their bodies piled up, clogging the crevice, forcing Ryan to retreat to clear his swing. The heap of dead worked in his favor, by effectively narrowing the corridor. Only by clawing over the remains of their fellows could they come at him through the gap, one at a time. They fought one another to clear the opening, to meet death upon the edge of his gruesome sword.
Ryan!
What?
The man glanced over his shoulder and saw